match their physicality wise, and you know they're going with it to every ball there.
Outstanding game, 2 points from Blaise Hofer, 5th
place. Good day in the office there, you know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which Kenny really needs it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again into the studios here in KCLR for Come On Kind, Season 6. This is episode number 15. And we're in the middle of May. Well, near enough to us, but we're in the middle of championship because the All-Ireland Series for the under-16s has started. We'll be catching up with the manager, Canis Brennan, later on. Nearly forgot the name, but yeah, we'll be chatting to Canis a little bit later on in the evening. We'll be talking to Shem Kelly, the intermediate manager, because they had a bye last weekend into the semi-final of the Leinster Championship. They'll be taking on a Wexford team as well as the seniors for a doubleheader at the weekend, which is going to be a little bit of fun. And a bit later on then as well, I will be having my very first chat on Come On Kind with the Dublin Camogie chairperson, Carol O'Brien, former inter-county referee as well, and delighted over the last number of weeks because things have been going well for Dublin. Unfortunately, due to a bereavement, not Anya, she's still with us, thank God, but she has had one in the parish over the last couple of days and won't be with us this evening either. She is indisposed, but our producer is here again with us, filling in the gaps as usual. Hello, Lillian.
Hello, Martin. How are you this evening?
We're good. Now, are you?
Grand. Wasn't as sunny as I was expecting today, but...
Actually, would you believe it? I went into the shop today and somebody said to me, "Jizz, you have a great colour-up. Where were you?" I said, "I was in Carlow."
Somebody said the same thing to me on Saturday, actually.
Which I was. I was in Carlow and the sun was shining. It was a lovely day. I was also in Freshford over the weekend as well because the seniors was taking on the Division 2A champions, and that was Westmeath in the quarterfinal of the Leinster Championship. And Peter Chapclear joins me right now because it was a good day for the kittens. Chap, how are you?
Hi, Martin. How are you?
All good now. Thank you very much. I suppose it was a busy weekend for yourselves because we're back into the swing of things now again, straight into the Leinster Championship. Always good to dust off the cobwebs over the last number of weeks. You've been training, preparing for the weekend, and to be fair, job done.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we trained very, very hard over the last number of weeks, and I suppose once the league concluded, it's their first competitive match since then. So, you know, we did a really good performance on Saturday against Westmeath, got the job done, and now the train rolls on next weekend to Wexford.
Can I just make sure that you have that phone just up as far as you can to your ear just so we can get the good quality out of you as well? Westmeath has been, I won't say they're a bogey team, but we've always found it difficult to beat them. They're a physical team, they're a well-coached team, and I suppose they were looking to see where they were compared to playing a top-tier team and day after coming out of the Division 2A league. So realistically for yourselves, it was a very good performance. Plus you also got a few minutes of game time into returning injured players, which was a great bonus for yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Westmeath are a very formidable team. They won the Division 2 league and beat Derry in the process, and Derry are an All-Ireland senior outfit after winning the intermediate last year. So we were under no illusions that Westmeath would bring a huge amount of physicality to the game. They're very well organised, very well coached, and you know, it was we absolutely did not take it for granted, and we went out there very focused in terms of what we wanted to do and implement all the things we were working on in training, and we've done that and we did that, so we're very happy with that. You know, I think 19 or 20 girls would have got game time, including, let's say, Grace Walsh, who's just back from training, just back from an injury, first competitive match this year, and Miriam Walsh would have got game time as well, and a couple of other girls too who were kind of coming back from that stuff. So very happy with the match, very happy with the result. Obviously there's always areas for improvement in terms of the performance, but the work ethic was there, Martin, and we're very pleased with that.
The work ethic certainly was there, and you're dead right, you didn't take him for granted, because I mean 13 to 15 seconds, I'm not 100% sure exactly what the time was, I'd have to get a look at the video again, but my God, what a start, because the minute the ball was thrown in, you worked the ball up the field, up towards the dressing room end in Freshford, and bang, green flag straight away. I mean, you couldn't have got off to a better start.
Yeah, great start, and really, really slick movement as well. And as I said to you, we've been training really, really hard, as I said to you, over the last number of weeks and months. And I suppose, look, the league, you're playing in wetter pitches and the ball isn't as crisp or as sharp. But I did feel there was a nice bit of crispness and sharpness to our play on Saturday. Now, albeit, you know, that's one, you know, we have to back it up now again next week coming up, and that's what we aim to do. So Wexford coming to town is going to be a massive, massive challenge, and we hope to try and get as good a start as we can against Wexford as we did against Westmead.
The work rate, we've said it over the league, you've definitely put in a lot of work over that, and you know your philosophy and your style of play is certainly starting to shine through with a lot of the players as well, and the way you kind of want the girls to play. But I mean, the work rate was phenomenal, and even though you were so far ahead in the game, there was no letting up, there was no stopping, you were still fighting for every ball right up until the final whistle, and it was actually a joy to watch the match of the weekend.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, Martin, the reality is there's ferocious competition for places on that panel at the moment. And, you know, we had 15 girls that started and five came on, and a number of girls didn't get an opportunity to play. And then we have a couple of girls, you know, the likes of Steffi and Tiffy Fitz and Julianne Malone that are out injured on the way back. So, I mean, there's huge competition, which makes our job very difficult as a management team. But as a group, it makes it really competitive, and we're all on the journey together now at this stage, but it's an incredibly competitive environment, but supportive one as well. So, you know, when you have a setup like that, a situation that everybody is always fighting for every ball from the first minute to the last, and that's what we want, and that's what the girls did on Saturday. And I suppose the challenge for us now is to back that up now again next week with another rock solid performance, and that's what we'll be hoping to do.
Yeah, it certainly was a rock solid. I mean, as you always say, there's things to improve on. You're never 100% happy with the performance, and that's the way it should be, because you should always be learning from games coming into the next game, especially when it's a big game coming up for a semi-final against Wexford. But you did mention a couple of players there that was coming back. Obviously, there is players that is out injured at the moment in time. You've mentioned them as well there to come back into it. I mean, what a headache to try and pick a team now coming up for a semi-final final with some of the girls that was playing putting their hand up for spots, because I'm not going to name them myself, you know who they are, but they certainly did play very, very well when they were shoved in, I suppose, at the deep end for a Leinster start in a quarter final. You're getting the other girls back. It's a headache that I wouldn't like to have, and unfortunately you're going to have it over the next number of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me and for the management team, it's all about, you know, who's performing consistently in training. And, you know, if you're playing well in training, you'll get your opportunity. And, you know, when you do get your opportunity and you do get the jersey, well, it's really important that you hold on to that. And, you know, some girls really, really on Saturday put in magnificent shifts and have really laid claim to a jersey. And that's really good to see, because, you know, if you're going good, it's not good enough. You know, you have to be going exceptional to knock somebody off the starting 15. So it makes training really competitive, really tough. And that's the environment we want. So, you know, high challenge, high support is what it's all about. And as I said, it's going to be very, very difficult to pick a team for Saturday, but we will pick a team, and we will go to meet Wexford as hard as we can. And, you know, we've managed to watch, we've played Wexford in two challenge matches this year. With a bit of analysis done on their league final as well. So we're fairly familiar with how they set up. So it's going to be interesting to see how the game goes on Saturday.
Yeah, the last day that they came to town, obviously it was a cracking game, ending in a draw after what could have been turning either way for either team. So we're certainly looking forward to it. It is going to be part of a doubleheader coming up, and we might delve into that a small little bit more. But areas of performance, I mean, nine scores, we'll say, conceded against Westmeath, which they did play very, very well, to be fair to them. As I said, they are probably trying to gauge where they are now in the Leinster Championship, and as a team themselves coming up again a Tier 1 county. I mean, you put 321 on the board yourselves. Nine scores conceding is not too bad, considering it was 8 points, but the goal, I suppose, from your point of view, was disappointing.
Yeah, sure, these things happen in the matches, Martin, and, you know, like, it's... You know, we missed a couple of opportunities in one end, and we're letting a soft goal at the other end. But that's sport. Like, you know, you deal with it, you suck it up, and you move on, you know. And I suppose from my perspective, okay, it was great to score 321 or whatever it was. But what I was really pleased about is I think we had 38 turnovers in the game. So when you're, you know, working that hard that you manage to turn the ball over 38 times, you're always going to be able to shout. So if we can keep that level of intensity and that level of physicality, and marry that then with our hurling, would be a very difficult team to beat as the year goes on. But look, we're keeping our feet on the ground. We've a Leinster semi-final coming up on Saturday. Wexford are coming to town. They're formidable opponents, and I think the venue might be Freshford again. I'm not 100% sure, but got to take the pitch and the facilities in Freshford on Saturday were fantastic, and we're really well looked after up there, and the pitch is in unbelievable condition. So, you know, hopefully he's got it to be in Freshford again on Saturday with Bruce Springsteen in Nolan Park, and we give it a right good rattle.
Yeah, I think it's 90% confirmed at this stage. It might be 99% confirmed by the time that we get out of the building here later on this evening, but I couldn't agree more with you. Like, the pitch up there was like a carpet at the weekend, and I think even some of the Westmead lads and that were complimenting the ground staff as well. They were out early on Saturday morning preparing it. As you say, semi-final coming up. A bit of a novelty one as well this weekend, because obviously the intermediates had a bye last weekend. They're in the semi-final and they're also playing Wexford as well. So Kilkenny versus Wexford in the senior and the intermediate semi-final, and it is great to have the two of them on the same day, so you'll be able to get a look at some of the intermediate girls, and obviously have an overlap with some of the management team from there on your panel as well. It's going to be a great occasion next weekend.
Absolutely, sure. It'd be absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, for any young girl in the county, you know, you're going to get two fantastic matches next weekend. You have the intermediates and the seniors, one after the other. Apparently the weather is supposed to be, I said this last week too, but the weather is supposed to be very nice this weekend as well. So I'd be encouraging so many of the girls in Kilkenny and boys to make their way up to Freshford. It'll be a fantastic occasion, two cracking matches in store, and as I said to you, hopefully from both the county setups we'll be able to come out on the right side.
How important is it to have that bit of a support as well? Because I know even from the last day being in Carlow with the under 16 matches, and you could see the Dublin team, and I actually said it to the boys after, I don't know what it is about Dublin and the hill, and I'm going to ask Carl that later on, but the girls that was playing our team in the B final actually went up and sat in the bank and cheered the A team for Dublin on. So it is important to have that extra bit of support, and the intermediate girls can support the senior team, and the senior girls beforehand can obviously support the intermediate team. And it's great to have that cooperation and that camaraderie there between the two panels.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, look, at the end of the day, you know, when you go to play a match, you know, it doesn't always go perfect for the 60 minutes. You know, things will go wrong and mistakes will happen. And sometimes it's just somebody in the crowd giving you an encouraging voice or a cheer for a good score or a shout, come on, keep it up, well done. And you know, players do hear that. And I know we're supposed to say, you know, you just focus in between the lines, but you do on occasion can get a sense that when there's a crowd there, when the atmosphere is up, it can tend to give you that extra 5 or 10% on top of hopefully 100% that you're given already. So definitely the bigger the crowd, that's the, you know, these players train really, really hard, both intermediates and seniors, and they want to be able to play in front of big crowds and perform at the highest level, I suppose, show off all their skills and talents. But ultimately, look, hopefully a big crowd will come out on Saturday. But look, if there's no one at it and we get the win by a pint, we'll be happy enough.
Well, just talking about that, I mean, even the crowds going to the games at the minute is fairly poor enough, and we've obviously heard the GAA giving out about maybe putting the matches into bigger venues and that. I mean, it would be great to play in Nolan Park, but unfortunately Bruce and the boss is there, so that's not possible. But I mean, Freshford is a lovely ground. You have the stand there, you know, the pitches. I suppose it's close enough to the action to be involved in it and for the players to be involved in it. And last weekend, I suppose the crowd was poor enough, but I mean, do you think that maybe it's because that you were playing Westmeath and people might think, well, this is going to be a foregone conclusion, etc. But this weekend, Wexford coming to town, you'd be hoping that at least a bigger crowd would come out, because these players do deserve, as you said, they put in the same effort as what our hurlers do, and they deserve to have a big cheer or a big support when somebody gets a good score, or even when you come out on the field, because that can help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, look, so many families, there's so many competing interests with different sports and bits and pieces like that. And I suppose, look, I think the match is going to be a little bit later this week, which just might draw a bigger crowd. Saturday at 2 o'clock can be quite challenging for a lot of people that are working, etc. So, but look, as I said to you, I can assure any of your listeners that make their way up to Freshford on Saturday, they're going to be in for two cracking matches, and it'll be if you enjoy hurling, enjoy camogie, and you want to get up close and personal to the action, you're going to have a great day at it. So look, we're just focused on ourselves, we're just focused on getting in a good performance, and you know, we try and not worry too much about, you know, the outside stuff in terms of locations and times and things that are outside of our control. We're just trying to get ourselves ready for a big performance and hopefully a good result as well on Saturday.
Well, I can give you an exclusive. The times are going to be 4 o'clock for the intermediate semi and 6 o'clock for the senior semi. So lots of time for people. Not too hot either, especially when it gets to that hour of the evening, because we know that they can be giving temperatures up into the late, even 20, 21 degree. Like, so to have it that bit later in the evening obviously helps with a little bit of cooler air coming into the night.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, we're going to have to play matches in all different types of conditions. And, you know, we played matches at 10 o'clock in the morning and we'll play them at 7 o'clock in the evening. So, look, if it's 6 o'clock on Saturday, that's great. We're looking forward to it. We'll gear towards that. And as I said to you, we're just focusing ourselves now, getting a good training session in tomorrow night, plenty of recovery, and get a bit of homework done on Wexford and have ourselves geared up for next Saturday.
Chab, obviously you've been there now since the start of November when you were instilled there as the manager, and you've come and gone and seen the National League coming and what the players have to offer and what's available there to you. But I mean, there certainly seems to be a change in attitude that you can see it even standing on the line this year with the players. They're hungry, they're fighting, they really want to do well and have that bit of success. So, you know, it's great to see a bit of boys in the panel that's there, and obviously training has been going so well because the position and the fighting for positions and even to put your hands up for the starting 15, it's great to see. And obviously it makes your job a lot easier when you go to train and to have players that actually want to get out and to do well.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, that's a very, they're a very special group of girls. They're really committed. They're really interested, and they just want to improve the whole time. So it's we're very fortunate that there's a fantastic group, and there's a great mix of youth and experience in there as well. And so we're trying to create a culture and an environment where girls go out and really be at their best every time they go out and commit that environment. But ultimately, it's down to the players, and the players have an unbelievable drive, and the players want to do well and they want to be successful. And I suppose when it's player driven and when it's driven by the players, you always have a great chance. So I suppose we just try and put the structures and the environment in place to allow them to go out and try and do their best. And look, there's huge competition as well amongst these girls. They're all elite athletes and they all want to play, but not everybody can play, and that can be a challenge as well. But look, it's certainly a brilliant headache for us to have as a management team to have so many players playing so well and fighting for places.
We're actually starting to lose you there now a little bit, chap. So I'd say the either the weather down your way now is not too good at the minute, or there's low cloud flying over high or over the house there at some stage. But look, thank you so much again for joining us. You're always been so free with your time. Great win last weekend. Congratulations on that. And we look forward to the semi-final against Wexford coming up this weekend. And hopefully we'll be having another chat next Monday with looking forward to a Leinster final with yourself.
Thanks, Martin. Thank you.
As always, that was Chab Clear there having a chat to us. And I have to say, he always is being so obliging any time that we go and try and have a conversation or have an interview with him, whether win, lose, draw or anything. He's always available and we really do appreciate that. Right, quick break to take. When we come back, I'll be lining up Shem Kelly, the intermediate manager, to have a chat about the precursor to the senior game. And that is the intermediate match that will be as well. So don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
Carlo Kilkenny, KCLR.
Yeah, welcome back. That was As the Magic Happens, a quick break. And right now, as I said, we were going to line up Shem Kelly to have the interview with him. I'm at the frightening the bejesus out of poor Lillian here. She's after getting a right jump off the seat, but sure, it'll only keep her awake for a little while as well. But here we go. Let's dive into intermediate level things with Shem Kelly, the intermediate manager for Kilkenny, and he joins me right now. Shem, how are you?
All good, Barton, and yourself?
Ah, should be good. How could we be not good after last weekend's victory? And we're looking forward to two massive games coming up at the weekend as well. Obviously, you were involved with the seniors last year because you're part of Chab Clear's management team with the senior, but you're also managing the intermediate team. And Wexford coming to town at the weekend is also bringing the two teams, because that's who you're going to play in the semi-final.
Yeah, no, look here, it's... it's going to be a good weekend of Camogie anyway, definitely, and double header definitely add to that, you know. So look, we're definitely all looking forward to it from both camps.
It's a little bit of a novelty, as I was talking to Chap earlier on about it. I mean, normally either you're away or they're at home or you're playing different teams, but the fact Wexford is actually playing Kilkenny in both of them, and it's a home game for yourself, so it is going to be a double header as well, brings a little bit of a specialness to the competition and to this weekend.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And look, you're essentially putting, you know, the first and second teams of both counties into the one venue. You know, all going well in that. Like, and it's definitely going to bring a crowd and a bit of an atmosphere. And definitely when it comes to Wexford and Kilkenny, there's no love lost, whether it's in Hurling or Camogie. So there's definitely going to be, you know, two very good games on hand. You know, the Wexford Intermediates went well in the league. You know, they got big results over the Corks and the Galways and ourselves. So they're obviously, you know, in a very good place this year. And look, the Wexford seniors then last year, on top of that, we saw what happened in the first round championship in Nolan Park. They, you know, they pushed the seniors to the thinner collar to get a draw out. Like, you know, so if form should follow on and improvements keep happening, could be two very good games in our hands, Martin.
Skin and hair is going to be flying, I think, in Kilkenny at the weekend when these two play, because it always is a great occasion. For yourselves, you've been training away since the National League has come to an end, which has been a number of weeks ago, the same as the seniors. But obviously they were drawn into a quarter final, so they had a game coming into the semi-final itself. Do you feel that that's a little bit of a hindrance to yourselves, that you got the boys straight into the semi?
No, I don't. Like, again, this year I think the gap between the, I suppose, the Leinster and the league for us has probably helped us prepare a bit differently, and kind of allowed us more scope to get, you know, more work done and get more practice games in and look at players more closely and try different things. I think it's kind of allowed us to build the panel further from where we finished off in the league. I know breaks can go one or two ways on you, but I suppose the fact we're leading towards championship, the start of championship, whether it's Leinster or the All-Ireland series, I think, you know, we always had something to aim for, you know. And I know our league campaign wasn't, you know, the same as last year, but we can't compare 2 years with different panels and that. But still, you know, we're definitely in a good place. We're not the finished article, but we're in a far better place than we were when we finished the league. And, you know, we're just waiting to throw in that ball now next Saturday, just to see exactly where we are and to see has our preparation been where we needed to be for the first round of the championship game.
You can't really compare like for like, as you said, because last year was a different set of circumstances. This year's obviously you've had the troubles at the start with injuries and things going on with the colleges and different things and not being able to have your full teams out. So, you know, like you said, last year was great, this year completely different. But the Leinster Championship, obviously now you have a run at it, and obviously the team had a very good Leinster campaign last year as well, getting to the final and then beating Carlow in that exciting game up in the SETU arena.
Yeah, no, look, again, last year when the Leinster was, it was important for that group of players, you know, winning is a habit, and, you know, any competition you're in, you're setting your sights to win it, you know. If you look at some of the results over the weekend, they're very interesting. We see that, you know, Kildare pushed Wexford very close in the end. Carlow and Dublin were neck and neck, you know. So, like, there's no doubt, I think this Leinster Championship this year is going to be very, very close. Carlow got to the final last year, you know, Dublin clipped them in the end. So, you know, it's kind of hard to reform in any team at the minute, you know what I mean, especially with second teams where things can change over the course of, you know, players going up, players coming down, etc. So yes, no, look, we're just looking forward to the first, getting the ball running, Martin, getting into that first game now again, getting back into a groove, you know, and just get starting to get those championship minutes underneath the belt.
Yeah, I suppose, like you say, the other intermediate semi-final is going to be between Laois and Dublin 2 beating Carlow just by a goal last weekend as well. Carlow playing very, very well, were leading in that game. Maybe they'll feel they left the game behind them. It certainly would have been a nice semi-final draw as well to have the two neighbours competing against one another. But I suppose in the other fact now that we have other neighbours that's coming to town in both the semi-finals. But I suppose for yourselves, you're going into it a bit unknown after the league itself, you know. Laois themselves coming in after a league final appearance, you know, unlucky, only losing out by a point to Armagh. So it really, really is tight there in that intermediate group this year.
No, it definitely is. There's no question about it whatsoever. You know, it just goes to show you how things can change year in, year out. Carlow and Leinster final last year, and now they're going to the quarter final. So again, you know, form changes, personnel changes, teams improve, they learn. You know, Dublin are definitely in a very good place this year. You know, they've got a very good management team, and I don't believe their management team are very crossed over too. So you can see when you have that link going well, how it can help things, and it can improve setups as well, you know. And I believe Wexford are working very closely together this year as well, so you can see where the improvements are coming from. You know, that kind of cross communication is massively important, you know, when you have two teams in one county, you know. So look, I think Martin, this Saturday now we're going to be in for two very good games. I believe we're in a good place, but we won't know until we're tested, you know. So
I suppose for yourself though, how important is it to have a good run in the Leinster Championship before the All-Ireland Series kicks in a couple of weeks' time?
It's massively important, because if you look at, you know, whoever wins the semi-finals this Saturday, then they'll be in the final the week after, and then you're straight into Championship, you know. So this is where you kind of start on that road to try to build momentum, you know. If you end up, you know, say not winning Saturday, a team not winning Saturday, you know, not getting to the final, you're then a week without a game, and it can be slower to kind of start building that momentum up. But the Leinster is a great competition that it gives you a chance now to see where your preparations are at, to see are the players where they need to be at, and then when those questions start to get answered, then that's when that momentum wheel starts to turn. And then as long as the team can keep going, it, you know, keep it moving, keep pushing it, you know, it definitely has gone into the Championship. I suppose this year as well, we have a lot more games in the All-Ireland Series leading now a Leinster as well, which means like panels are going to be needed more so than ever this year, I believe. Anyway, I think we have six games outside Leinster, you know, and if you win Saturday, you know, that'll bring you to eight games in total before you even get to an All-Ireland quarter final. So there's a long, hard road ahead for the teams, for the players, for the managers, for everybody. So look, you know, these Leinster games are massively important to get that momentum wheel going, as I mentioned.
Well, you've led me right in very nicely to my next question for you, because obviously with that amount of games coming up, as you say, the panel is going to be used, and it's going to be so important to yourselves. Niggles, injuries coming in from the National League that you've had, players that have been on long-term injuries. We obviously saw Grace Welsh and Miriam Welsh coming back for the seniors last weekend. Great to get them back on the pitch. A couple of niggles that's going to be cleared up as well, with Steffi and Tiffy Fitz coming up for the weekend for them. So as I said to the chap earlier, he's going to have a right headache trying to pick a team with, along with yourself as well, for the seniors. But for ye, how is the injuries and the niggles coming along since the National League?
Since the National League, yeah, look, we picked up a lot of things, you know, after the league, but that this period of time, we've got a lot of work done to help get those players back. So a lot of credit has to go to Cuiva, our physio, and David from Bravo Fitness and Strength and Conditioning, that the girls are in, they're in a strong, fit, you know, place. So we're just about to start our campaign. I'd say nearly 95% of the way there. There's just maybe one or two we just need to kind of assess further, but you know, we're in a good place, and you know, hopefully now all the work that's been done, you know, all the strength and conditioning, the hurling, the games, the practice games, etc., you know, it'll be enough to get us to sustain us through that whole you know, over the next 2 months, really, you know. So, you know, that's kind of it. But look, we're not too bad, Martin. We're not too bad at all.
I asked Chap this last week when it comes to having the games, because you've had, I suppose, a 5 or 6 week break since the National League. Yes, the seniors have had a quarter final. I know you've had a couple of challenge matches as well to keep the girls with match fitness and that going. But I'm going to ask you the same question as well. Having that amount of games coming up before, we'll say that you might get to a quarter final, is that a good thing for yourselves to keep the momentum going and to keep the team going week on week? Or does it bring its own problems with potentially having somebody getting injured, and then a bit like the GAA season we see with Peter Casey, that his season now is completely over for Intercounty after picking up the knock against Tipperary? Is that fear there, or do you rather have the team going out every kind of a week and building that momentum coming up to the knockout stages in the All-Ireland Series?
Yeah, look, you're trying to, I suppose you're always trying to build that momentum, but with the onslaught of games, there is always that risk, you know, and kind of they're kind of the uncontrollable, that you don't know what's ahead of you. I suppose the big thing all we can do is navigate game on game, you know, and we're going to have to use the panel. I believe throughout this campaign, because you know, in Championship Martin yourself, results that should go one way don't go, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the melting pot, and then your panel is under pressure through knocks and that, and you know, there's games then that have to be won, you know, and coming to near the end of it to stay in it. But I think having the momentum is important. I think coming out of the group stages into an All-Ireland quarter final, or whoever gets into an All-Ireland quarter final, it does help, but it does help at risk, you know what I mean? And that's if you can get your players and get your whole group through that campaign. I think last year, I think we had to wait, nearly 5 weeks to a semi-final, you know, and that was our quarter-final and or whatever we're in. But like, so that kind of killed our momentum because we had such a, you know, a road we were on. We were game in, game on, game off, game on, game off for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden it stopped. But I think the way this year now, it'll roll better for teams anyway. And if we're in that position, all going well down the road, you know, I'd rather be in that position and then just try and manage what's in front of us then.
Yeah, I think last week was a little bit misunfortunate about the way things panned out with Kildare not partaking in the championship itself, which obviously led to that long gap and a lot of games coming up first of all and having it not been redrawn or with the fixtures already gone out, etc. But this year the plan is definitely there. You're focused going into it and coming along into it. I suppose I'm actually looking at a document here in front of me with the playing rules and the changes to it, and I didn't ask Chap that because I ran out of time with himself, but I did say to him, obviously it was a very physical game last weekend coming, nothing that I'm saying to was dirty or anything that way. It was tough, it was fair, and there was a lot of hard hits going in with both teams that were really committed to it. So how have you felt the new rule changes, especially I suppose the two major ones are the hand passing, because we see an awful lot of referees is now blowing for throws, what they perceive to be throws, there has to be a clear striking action now, and obviously the shoulder to shoulder contact, I know it can't be deliberate or cynical still, but obviously there's a bit more physicality coming into the game. How have you found it?
Yeah, I suppose as it was last, or the game gone by with the seniors as an example, I thought that was, you know, bar the scoreline, obviously I thought there was a lot of physicality in that game. I thought a lot of hits were fair enough, like, you know, and I kind of let the game flow as well. Now, obviously there's a line you can't cross, we all know that, but I think it'll improve things. I just hope that, you know, that defining what shoulder to shoulder or tackle is kind of consistent throughout, like, you know what I mean, and that can be hard. What is that?
To be fair, it's very easily defined, because I mean you still can't deliberately shoulder a person, so unfortunately if two guards are going for the ball and one takes a sidestep and drives her up into row Z in a stand, if we're lucky enough to be playing into a stadium, that's still going to be a foul. But it's a lot more, I suppose, when there's players going for a ball 50-50 and, you know, you're able to nudge a player out of the way, or if you're going into a ruck and, you know, somebody is there as well, that you can tackle him and give him a shoulder just to move him off the ball slightly, which certainly is going to help improve the game and, you know, to try and stop these rucks forming in these dead ball situations, because we've seen a lot of them over the last number of years.
Yeah, no, I suppose you're right, that aspect too. I suppose, yeah, you're right when it comes to rooks, a lot of rooks do develop within camogie games, but if you're allowed that extra physicality to kind of keep the game moving, yeah, you know, it's just going to help things, you know. And I suppose then on the hand pass rule, I think we all know between hurling and camogie that the throwing is a, you know, it's a big problem within the game. I suppose we've been really clamping down with our in-house games and any practice games, kind of telling the referees that just be hard on them with the hand passing, you know, make sure they're getting that clear contact, because it's the only way you can improve on it, like, you know. But yeah, but look here, I know I got a document there today about all the rule changes, so I need to sit down now over the next day or so and go through them to make sure I'm well aware of them as well. So,
well, you're alright, you won't need a PhD anyway to look at them, because they're pretty self-explanatory. We're going to go through them a little bit later on as well, for the important ones, that is, well, I suppose they're all important, but just the major ones that affect the games, we're going to be looking at them as well. Shem, I suppose this weekend for yourselves coming, I mean, this is the days that you get involved in management and wanting to be part of teams, and teams themselves that want to go out in the weekend, you know, a provincial semi-final coming up, one more step away, and a provincial final above in Glenisco Connolly Park in Tullamore, a fantastic venue. Like, it would be great to have the two teams going out and, you know, performing and representing the black and amber on Leinster final day, because it really is a special kind of a day.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what we're working towards, isn't it? Like, you know, it's working to get into these provincial finals, or pushing on down the road to get into All Ireland finals, and that's why we had to kind of navigate through the very tough weather this year, you know, and all the training in the muck and the rain, the wet. You know, it has to be for something, and it's for the days that are coming, you know, on Saturday. And look, I think the players now are, you know, we had our last in-house kind of game there on Saturday, and the question was asked, is there anything else we need to add? And they said, no, we just need to do our job now. So they're all, the group are kind of happy that they're in a place now where they think they have enough tools to get going. So again, as I said to them, well, it will be tested on Saturday, and there's no doubt about which we're going to test it. But look, I think we're all looking forward to getting the two teams out on the same day, and hopefully we'll have two very good games.
well, with the help of God. Shem, the very best of luck to yourselves. We know a chap is there. It's going to be a 6 o'clock throw-in for their game, 4 o'clock throw-in for your game. Whether you know it or not, you're just at being told now it's 4 o'clock anyway, so I might have sprung that one on you a little bit there. But two cracking games coming up at the weekend. More than likely, as we said, 92% at this stage. Now, it was 90% with Chap, but we're getting close to even 95% before we leave the building this evening, that it is going to be in Freshford. But we're looking forward to it, and hopefully next week that we can be having a chat to yourself and Chap, looking forward to a Leinster final the following week in Tullamore. But the best luck to you and the team coming up in the semi-final this weekend.
Yep, thanks very much, Martin. I'm sure we'll be talking more often over the next few weeks, so I'll talk again.
Perfect. Thanks a million. That was Shem Kelly. They are having a chat to us about their intermediate semi-final coming up against Wexford also at the weekend. And as we said, that game has a 4 o'clock throw-in on Saturday. We'll give you a full rundown of all the fixtures when they're coming. Right, it's time for us to switch our attention now to an All-Ireland series, because the under-16s did win Leinster last weekend. They bet Dublin in that final, and Dublin came to town yesterday as well in a game in Nolan Park, played after the minor hurling game, which was brilliant to be able to get the girls in there as well. And I'm going to be chatting to Canice Brennan. I keep doing that. I do. It is Canice Brennan, the manager of the under-16s, when we come back in a moment or two. Again, magic is going to happen.
Kilkenny, Carlow, KCLR.
Yeah, unfortunately, the technology is not our friend at the minute, because Canice seems to be either in a bad area or he's on the phone to someone. Can't actually get him at the minute, but we will try and get him in a moment or two before we chat about rule changes that's coming into effect and all that that's there as well with it. Obviously, there was other results going on in the weekend. Carlo was taking on Dublin in the intermediate quarter final. That's Dublin 2, of course. And unfortunately for Carlo, tough day at the office, but they performed very, very well again, only losing out by a goal, 114 to 14 points. So Dublin will march on, and they will take on Laois in the other semi-final after they had a comprehensive victory over Wicklow. I'm not going to read out the score, because let's be fair, it's not fair on Wicklow. Wicklow are doing a great amount of work, and it's tough winning a junior championship and going up into the intermediate grade then as well. And to be fair, Laois is probably performing very, very well in the intermediate grade, as they have been doing, and there's a lot of good work being done in Laois as well. But that is obviously the second semi-final. We've mentioned it already, Kilkenny 2 and Wexford 2 in the first of those intermediate semi-finals, and that is coming up at the weekend. Kilkenny 3-21 Westmeath 1-8 puts Kilkenny into the senior final. They'll take on Dublin, of course, after they had a 4-15-6 points victory over Meath. Dublin coming off the back of that Division 1B league final result against Wexford. So Wexford will be a little bit hungry for success as well. But it's the first time we're actually going to hear from our producer this evening. You were up in Freshford at the weekend. It was a good performance, to be fair.
It was an excellent performance. I wouldn't care to be trying to pick a team out of what I saw play on Saturday, because there was a lot of girls put their hands up.
There was. A couple of younger players was, how would we say, catapulted into the team that hasn't started a game before. Sarah Barco, I know, was one of them. Laura Green was obviously put in. Now, she has played an awful lot of camogie in the National League as well. But
And would have been part of the intermediate panel last year as well.
Yeah, very good player. Caoimhe Kerr-Murtagh getting her first Leinster start.
That goal was just... class.
I mean, Eddie Kerr was in the venue, and I mean, no prouder grandfather could he have been. I mean, we don't know, we haven't clocked it. It's a pity we didn't. We don't have the video yet to see, but it was definitely 13 and 15 seconds.
It caught everybody by surprise. Absolutely everybody. There was, you know, she caught the ball, she went with it, she knew where she was putting it, and it went into the back of the net.
It was great work from the midfielders. They won it first. I mean, it was like the Harlem Globetrotters, the way they throw a basketball around, because it was just quick hand pass, quick slip, slide, jabby thingy, yeah, in front.
And that was
I haven't even got a word for a scoop with a slitter in front, like going ahead. It was poetry in motion.
But it was a great way to start a match. It was a great way. But that's the way the match was from start to finish, Martin. It was very fast, very crisp. Gavin Dunnigan did an excellent job with it. He left them go at it. He blew what needed to be blown, and he left them play.
Yeah, no, it was an excellent game, to be fair. And I know Pádraig Conington, the manager for Westmeath, was, I think, very happy with his team's performance because, let's be fair, I mean, Westmeath has always been there or thereabouts at the intermediate grade. They won that, came up into the senior a while ago. They won the Division 2B league this year. They're going to be playing in Division 1B next year. So they're going to be playing
and
the Wexfords.
And they're not an easy team to beat, Martin. We've gone to Cusick Park up and down to see our seniors play them in Cusick Park. And there have been days that we've come out with a win, but a bare win, because they're not an easy team to beat. They're very physically strong. They're very quick on the ball. Like, they're passing and they're blocking and their general play is excellent. You know, they hunt in packs. They never leave one another. There's no single Westmeath girl. There's always two or three. So you're coming up against a wall of Westmeath.
No, they played
jerseys.
very, very well, to be fair. I mean, Hannah Corr in the forward line there, unbelievable. Holly Dowdall, Megan Dowdall as well. I mean, she was a star performer and unbelievable. Amelia Shaw getting a couple of frees as well. So it was a workmanlike performance from Kilkenny. You know, 321 is a good score to be putting up, only conceding 9 scores as well. Excellent performance all round, but it'll certainly set up a nice day's camogie ahead for this weekend, as we said. Right, the powers of technology is back. We have sent subliminal messages to our under 16 manager, even though I did get the name wrong earlier. Canis. Oh, we didn't. He's not actually there. So the powers of subliminal messages did not work at the moment. Wexford, obviously, tough game coming up at the weekend coming.
Absolutely.
Very, very tough.
Very tough. Wexford are always tough.
Shem said it. I mean, last year in Nolan Park, Kilkenny were 10, 11 points up, I think, at some stage. And let's be fair, we were probably lucky to get away with the draw coming out of that, because if the game had to go on a bit longer, Wexford probably would have got the victory.
It's like the age-old story, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And you can't, like, I'd say we were 10 or 11 points up last year, Martin. But Wexford just stayed plugging away and we were lucky to get out with the draw. Very lucky to get out with the draw.
We certainly were, but it is, and it's nice that we actually have... No, we can't.
It's nice that we actually have the two matches.
It certainly is. We were trying to get Canis on it, but yeah, look, as we said, Offaly is going to be taking on Dublin in the semi-final, the other semi-final, because Offaly got the boy into that. That game will be in Offaly. Haven't got an exact venue for that yet, but it will be a 3 o'clock throw-in for that one. A 3 o'clock throw-in for the Laois and Dublin 2 game. 4 o'clock for Kilkenny and Wexford in the intermediate, and 6 p.m. throw-in then for the senior game between Kilkenny and Wexford. And obviously there is one big game coming up, as we were talking to Bobby O'Neill on the show last week. He's the manager of the Kildare under-18 team that won the All-Ireland. He's also managing Kildare's second team, because they are in the junior final. He is, against Louth this weekend.
Busy man.
Busy man. But he has a lot of girls that's after coming through the last couple of minors and this year's minors. And you know, it's great to see Kildare going so well. Louth again in another final. It would be nice to see Louth doing well. There's a lot of work going on there, the under 16s and everything else. So let's wish Kildare and Louth the very best of luck. A big day for them, because while the senior and the intermediate probably gets all the exposure and everything that's going around, and obviously they're the two, I even hate seeing and saying this, but it's perceived to be the two biggest games when it comes to the adult championship. But for the likes of Kildare second team and Louth, this is a very important game for them coming up.
And there's a lot of work being done in both Kildare and Louth, and they're entitled to their limelight the same as every other team in the country. But it's great to see Louth competing at that level, and it's great to see Kildare with the second team involved.
It certainly is, and that game is going to take place at 5 o'clock in Ashburn Donamore Ground in Meath on Saturday at 5 o'clock. And as we said, that is the Leinster Junior Final between Kildare and Louth. Right, let's see if the other subliminal messages has worked this time, and let's see if we can go to Canis Brennan, the under 16 manager with Kilkenny. Canis, how are you, good sir?
Hello, Martin. How are you?
All good. Now, we're eventually here. I said there must be clouds or something hanging around us outside. We couldn't get through the first time, but we are here. Congratulations. Fantastic victory over the weekend. Like, you played Dublin, as we said earlier there, in the Leinster final last week in Carlow. It was a humdinger of a game. Nothing in it. Only a point at the end of the day. And lo and behold, the first round of the All-Ireland Championship, who do we get to play? Only Dublin again. So this was being built up to be another, I suppose, part of the trilogy, because we played Dublin in the league, the group stages of the Leinster Championship. They beat us. We came and we beat them in the final, and this was the third part of the trilogy. It was in UPMC Nolan Park at the weekend. I'm going to ask you about that first before we get into the score. What was it like playing in Nolan Park? Obviously, after the minor game, I'd say both yourself and the girls were delighted to get that opportunity.
Yeah, well, look at me. Absolutely, it was fantastic. There was a buzz around the team, around the parents, in fact, as well, when I told them what was probably going to happen. So my big thanks to the Kilkenny County Board, Camogie Board, and certainly to Kilkenny GA Board. I spoke to them on Thursday night and told them most of these girls would have never played in Nolan Park, maybe as a school's team or something. But so it was fantastic to get them in there for Sunday, and they just couldn't believe it. And look, as a preempt, we even got in there Saturday morning. I snuck in there Saturday morning to pull a few strings and ask a few favours off a few people. And Seamus, in fairness, looked after us and got us in for half an hour fuck around on Saturday morning just in preparation. So the girls weren't overawed when we went in there Sunday. So a big thanks to everyone for that as well. So, but it was fantastic. Now, all those girls will absolutely remember their first time playing for Kilkenny in Nolan Park. So I guarantee you that, which is a lovely photograph at the end. So.
Well, it certainly made for a brilliant afternoon as well, because while the hurlers didn't manage to beat Dublin, he certainly did in Nolan Park with a 3-12-1-5 victory. It was comprehensive, like unbelievable for the team, I suppose, to turn that around in the space of 6 days and to get the first win under the belt in the All-Ireland series, which is always important.
Yeah, it was very important to get that, because last year we won the Leinster final, we lost the first round against Tipperary, and it really hurt, and we were very disappointed. We ended up losing the first three, in fact, really disappointed. We really wanted to push it on and keep the focus, which the girls did, and we changed things this year. Look, when you play teams often enough, you learn things as well. We did learn a few things about that Dublin team, where their better players were, and we concentrated on keeping the ball kind of away from those players, and we concentrated players on marking their better players, what they actually do to stop them from hurling in a positive way, you know what I mean? And the other thing as well is we got rejuvenated by the B squad girls. We picked a number of B squad girls who come up now and joined the A squad and filled out the A squad as well. And really, it was a squad effort yesterday that got us over the line. We put on full 8 subs yesterday, and you could see the rejuvenation of the team every time a sub came on. And Dublin remarked at the end, like, they just didn't have the bench like we had, because every girl that came on yesterday for us contributed something in the heel of the hunt. And but I give it to Dublin for the first 25-30 minutes put us under the caution, played really well, and we struggled with what they had done. They actually played 4.5 forward line, 2 in full forward line. We struggled for 20 minutes until we saw what we were doing, and we were able to counteract it with our own moves as well. And in the second half, phenomenal. The backs were phenomenal. They actually held them scoreless, which is, you know, a fair feat in itself, but and the backs have always pushed it on there as well. And Murren Kenny gave an exhibition of free taking, and Ella got two great goals in the first half as well. So it all came really good in the second half for us, and the expanses of Nolan Park certainly helped as well. Because the rejuvenation of the team every time a new sub came on, mad to get going, was you could see it was evident there as well.
Yeah, I suppose some of your management team said it to me after the B's victory last week, before ye got to play your AA final even. They said, God, they said next weekend is going to be tough, because there's definitely a couple of players off this that'll probably make the A panel for the All-Ireland Championship. And they weren't far wrong. I mean, you know, when you're able to bolster a team up like that and make a team that has won a Leinster A final and go on then and bring up a couple of other players to even strengthen that squad, it just goes to show the depth and the talent that's actually in the county at the minute, Canis.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew that myself. The serious talent. This bunch in particular, these 60 girls, I have the serious talent within them. Unfortunately, I can only bring up so many, and this, the girls that produced the goods really over the last 3 or 4 months. The girls that pulled up, and whether they be 15 or 16, we brought up 9, and it was 6 of them 15-year-olds and 3 of them 16-year-olds, and they worked hard to get there. And look, they really did help us out yesterday with pushing on the girls that were there already. And it was a fantastic win in the end, and we closed off well, and we were a good value for the win in the end. And but it's never easy when you're playing a team for 6 days and there's only a pint in it. You are a little bit apprehensive that there's the hunger there and is the bite there, and Dublin are coming back for revenge. But look, I think we got things right yesterday overall, and we just push it on now, because in 6 days' time we're playing Limerick, which is going to be a big test, because they're the Munster champions and they're the Leinster champions, so it's going to be a very tough match below, and it's down there in Limerick as well next Saturday morning, so it's not going to be easy either.
Okay, is that confirmed definitely for Saturday? Because I'm just looking at the fixtures here at the minute and it's telling me it's down for Sunday in Newcastle West, so has that been changed?
Well, I tell you the truth, Martin. I've put in the official request. It's been done in the back room to facilitate Bruce Springsteen, and people can go into Bruce Springsteen. So it's gone through. I know the requests have gone in officially to change it, but it's let's just say in the inner planning circle, it's that's what we're working off of and hoping to be. It'll be approved because of the request is that people want to go see Bruce Springsteen on Saturday afternoon and on Sunday afternoon, and we'll see if we're not facilitated, so we'll be able to play on the Sunday evening. But at the moment, Limerick have fully agreed to facilitate it and play us down there on the Saturday. So I'm hoping that's what happens anyway.
I'm just looking. I mean, they did have a good victory over Tipperary at the weekend as well, 11-3. So they are down in a joint top with yourselves. You're on top, obviously, with the better score difference against Dublin. But I mean, as you rightly said, Limerick is the next game up in a couple of days' time. But then, obviously, another heavy, fixture when you look at it, because it's another away trip then, and it's to Galway this time. Now, they didn't play Cork at the weekend, but they're two big back-to-back away games to be able to put to get the results out of either of the two of them, or indeed even both of them, would set you up nicely to get into the knockout stages of the All-Ireland series this year.
Yeah, if we can win two, or definitely win three, we're probably guaranteed a semi-final spot. That's with 6 points, you're probably guaranteed a semi-final spot. That's the way it is. But I mean, we're not taking anything for granted. I mean, Limerick are Munster champions. We played them earlier this year below in Cappamore, it was, and we found a tough day. They actually operated very much like Dublin with a sweeper system. So actually, we got great training and preparation for them, because Dublin operated a sweeper system. We played it three times now, so. And we did get the win over Limerick at that time below, and it was only in the start of it. So I think we've come on, maybe Limerick have come on as well, I'm sure, but I would have no fear taking on Limerick at this stage and pushing down with the way we're playing at the moment.
I suppose it's no surprise, and I'm not putting pressure on your aunt, or don't think that either, but when you look back through the record books and see that Kilkenny hasn't won an All-Ireland title since 2006, I mean, 14 years is fairly barren in a Tier 1 county like ourselves without an under-16 All-Ireland. But there seems to be something special about this group of players that's there at the minute, that they have the potential to go all the way and fix that trend and go the distance this year.
Yeah, look, there's been teams like this before that have the potential to go through it, and it's a matter of commitment and positivity and getting girls and parents all to push it forward in the one direction. That's the most important thing, and that's been done, and the management then putting the focus on the places that need to be worked on and pushing on that talent. And you need a bit of luck along the way, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, we lost a player yesterday. Poor Aisha was one of our cornerbacks was stretching off yesterday with a very bad knee injury. It looks like she may have dislocated her knee. So it looked like something could have been worse, more serious than that initially. But I mean, luckily enough, we had Dr. Tighe and Dr. Frank Chambers was there as well. So they were able to assist us off. So I mean, she's going to be a huge loss. If it is what I think it is, she's gone to July. So I mean, that's the, and we lost Sinead Jones earlier in the week with a dislocated finger. So I mean, three of them would probably be the starting team are out of action at the moment as well. So I really wish Aisha the best of luck, because I hope she's not too bad and she'll be back later on in the year for like Sinead will be back probably for the Galway game. So that's why, Martin, you need that strength and depth, because these things happen when you're playing week on.
Yeah, well, you certainly preempted my next question to you, because I was going to actually ask you how Aisha was after the injury that she did pick up. But look, hopefully, it won't be that serious. And if it is what you think it is, that she'll be back on the field as quickly as possible.
It was her knee, and we're just worried. God, we already lost some of the crucy this year for Ebony Cooney, so we're hoping it wasn't that. It doesn't look like it, even though, I mean, I called across them casually after the game, and she was in good form, and the swelling was gone, the pain was gone, and the swelling was still there. But it does look like a possible dislocated knee is what it was, and yeah, patella. And so if that's the case, she may be back. Unfortunately, we had a player with this last year, girl, where Jenny happened last year as well. But Jenny got back to us after 6 weeks as well. So we're hoping Aisha will make a comeback, because she was she played really well yesterday. And she made a block before she got injured that was absolutely outstanding. It saved a certain goal. So we wish her well.
Yeah, well, we likewise here do it as well, and hopefully that all things are good. Canis, I suppose I'm going to leave it there, because I know you're a busy man this evening. But I mean, we just want to make sure and acknowledge things as well. But obviously, it was a fantastic victory for yourselves over Dublin at the weekend. Go on, shout at me. You're on. No, she's not saying anything. There's paper coming behind me, Canis, here by herself, and I can't read the writing at the minute. But look, great victory. Limerick is up next. Hopefully, yeah, we'll get a good result at the weekend as well, and we'll be able to have a chat to you next week about two wins on the board. But great win last weekend. Well done to yourself and the team.
Great. Just the last thing as well. Look, thanks to all the parents and supporters yesterday. The girls weren't overawed. The crowd was great. And then a lot of the management said to me, it's just great to get the crowd. They were shouting every time we got something positive. I mean, they shouted on the girls as well. And I saw a number of the senior camogie team there as well, watching this as well, which is great. And they were there right in front of the girls that were warming up. So it's great when you see that, Dan, and see the support there. So thanks to everyone that turned up yesterday in Nolan Park.
Yeah, great day all round. Great to be able to play a match there as well, because actually I was talking to Johnny Weir, who was the Leinster vice chairman, because they actually got to play one of their Leinster under 16 games in Cusey Park in Westmeath, going back a couple of weeks ago as well, and the girls up there loved it. So yeah, great experience, and hopefully it won't be the last time either that's possible to be done. But anyway, Canis, well done. Best of luck next weekend against Limerick. We'll be keeping everything crossed, and hopefully we'll be having a chat to you next week with another victory on the board.
Thank you, Martin. Best of luck.
That was Canis Brennan there, the under 16 manager. You were at the match in Nolan Park yesterday, because obviously I was in Carlow at the Minor B Shield final replay. That was a cracker of a game up there as well, which we'll be chatting to somebody about that in a minute. But overall, they were value for their victory yesterday.
They were value for their victory, and they kept Dublin. Dublin were held scoreless in the second half yesterday.
We know. You were trying to tell me that discreetly behind the scenes, but yeah.
You forgot to turn off the microphone.
Blame me for it. Why don't you?
Well, sure, you have the deck in front of you. But and it wasn't that Dublin didn't try. Like, Dublin were trying hard all along, but like, we had some excellent players through the day yesterday. Ciara Hickey in the half-back line, centre-back, was fabulous. Sive Shefflin and Ruth Crowley, Sive was number 8. There was no numbers on the... It's very hard to keep track of the programme yesterday. There was no numbers for the first 15. But Sive was number 8. Ruth Crowley, number 11, was excellent. Holly Ryan was excellent. And the whole full forward line, we had Ella Walton, who got a fabulous goal. Emily Phelan played centre, and Mearn Kenny gave an absolute exhibition, as Canis said, on the frees. She has a very... I won't say unorthodox routine for taking them, but she concentrates completely on what she's doing, and she was absolutely on song yesterday. I don't think she missed one.
Well, talking about Dublin and the good victory that we may have had over them, they were obviously out themselves in the replay that I was at yesterday, because they played in Nolan Park last weekend, Dublin and Wexford. It ended in a draw. It was a cracker of a match as well, which I heard. And the replay was in Carlow yesterday, and that was a cracker of a match. But obviously these things don't just happen by accident. Management are not put in by accident. There's obviously a head honcho, as we like to call it, and he's joining me right now out of Dublin Camogie, and that is Mr. Carl O'Brien. Carl, how are you this evening?
Good, Martin. How are you?
I am all good. Thank you very much. Thank you for accepting the invitation to come on, kind with ourselves here, because obviously you are a busy man. I mean, Dublin is one of the biggest counties when it comes to putting out inter-county teams and players, and you had fail over the last number of weeks and trying to juggle everything around, as well as being a dad and everything else with a young lad, and obviously the... your little girl as well, who's out playing Camogie. I think I actually saw her in Carlow with you yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
But my sidekick with trouble everywhere.
And why not, when you can have a sidekick like herself? But we were just discussing this off air over the last 24 hours. I mean, I met Phyllis Breslin yesterday as well. Anyone will know, and Sheila Wallace as well. Two of the most staunch Dublin supporters you will ever come across, because they're at every kind of a Camogie match. And Sheila actually said it to me, the Dublin Camogie is on a high at the minute. And to be fair, I couldn't disagree with her, because it is.
Yes, yes. No, we've had a good couple of weeks. Our senior team brought home the 1B title after 41 years. Our 3B team brought home their league. And then yesterday, our minors brought home an All-Ireland Minor Shield. Our first title, I believe, at minor ever. So, yeah, no, we're on a good wave at the moment.
And we need Dublin to be on a good wave, because, I mean, we know that the teams have been back there in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. You know, I think you still have the record, if I'm not mistaken, of number of victories in a row when it comes to All-Ireland success. But, I mean, yesterday's game was, I suppose, from a neutral's point of view, looking at it, it was awe-taking, it was breathtaking, it was unbelievable. I mean, the skill level from both teams yesterday was exceptional. But a couple of your players really, really stood out to me. One of them in particular, and that was Emer Keogh. I have to pick out, because she is like a dynamite going around on a pitch, because she was everywhere, and her distribution of ball, even free taking, was unbelievable yesterday. But overall, from 1 to 15, it was a fantastic performance. And to come away with a point victory then as well is certainly the way to do things.
Yeah. No, yesterday was a fabulous day for this bunch of players and their management. This management team only came in under Ambrose this year. It's their first year together. First years are generally tough for a management team to gel a team together. But they've come out on the right side of the results on the knockout games. They've dug very deep the week before down in Nolan Park, and came out with a draw. Again yesterday, with 61 minutes on the clock, I thought we were going to extra time again at that stage, but we did. We nicked it in the end. But credit yesterday to both teams, Dublin and Wexford. They were both phenomenal. And we have to remember, at the end of the day, these are 16-17-year-old girls. They're coming into adults, but they're putting on the best camogie there that we have seen in a long, long time.
I know you were sitting in the stand and you probably didn't want extra time. For us, that was neutrals. We certainly did. Another 20 minutes of that game yesterday would have been absolutely breathtaking to be watching it as well. But for you as Dublin chairman, I mean, the years have been fairly barren at underage success and even at adult level over the last little while. And even the two ladies and that, and even somebody else who is a good Dublin lady and even a former Camogie Association PRO was chatting to me and said it's been difficult to follow Dublin the last number of years because the support hasn't been there. But the support yesterday for the team was unbelievable. The shouting, the roaring as soon as he got a score. I mean, it must be heartwarming for yourself as the chairman of Dublin to actually see the work now that you put in and your predecessors before you at grassroots level starting to come to fruition at long last.
Yeah, no, it is. It is great for us to see. I look back now, this is my third year. And things have gradually grown over, but there's a lot of people there before us who toiled, and as the ladies have said, through times that weren't great for following Dublin, but we've always had a loyal support. We are trying to build on that. We look for the National League final. We ran buses for our supporters down. We ran buses for the kids down. We sent our development squads down again. Last week for the replay, we sent the buses with parents and underage players on again. I'm saying week in, week out, if the only way that we can see that this is going to grow, and it's not just in Dublin, is we need bums on seats. We need our game out there. We need people to see it. We have one of the best games in the world to showcase. We need it out there. So the more people that we get seen, and right, we're on a good wave of at the moment, and that positivity comes back into Dublin. It feeds back into our clubs. last weekend we hosted our biggest ever Féile in Dublin. We'd 9 divisions, we'd 1,400 girls playing Féile over the weekend. They're memories that these kids will cherish forever. So that's what we're trying to do. We're promoting the small ball, as we say, but we're making lifelong memories for kids and that moment for adults.
If I'm not mistaken, if I'm right, I think one of your colleagues down at Congress actually said that your membership has gone past the 20,000 mark this year. I mean, it's a phenomenal number in any county. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that'll come close to that at the minute. But 9 divisions in Féile just goes to show that Camogie at club level and in the county is certainly going from strength to strength. And with the last number of victories now, as you say, for your senior team winning the league, and that was 1B, so you're now coming up to, as we say, the tier 1 counties and back to the top of the table again for the league next year. You know, doing very well in the Leinster. You've been in the last number of finals, beating Meath fairly comprehensively at the weekend in the semi-final, coming up against Offaly now at the weekend. Like, things are certainly on a good trajectory for Dublin, and it has been a while to see it coming, but it is nice to see it at long last.
Oh, yes, it is. It is nice. But behind all that, we've a development committee there who, about 3 years ago, restructured our development squads into hubs across the city where we work on the basis of 5 hubs now. We're not only bringing in 30 players anymore and letting them play off and taking the best. We're now working from a base of 180, 220 players in hubs across the city. And these are young girls who are all getting a chance. There's nobody coming in, and they're not only coming in for a week. They come in blocks of 8-10 weeks. They get trained. By what we would hope will be the best coaches in the future. Those clubs who are sending the players in, we train up the coaches to level 1 and level 2 alongside it. So in the long run, we hope that this will pay dividends.
I suppose talking to some of our guys there as well, who would know some of the coaches in Dublin because they're involved with the colleges up there as well, and it may not have happened over the last while, and I don't know because I'm not privy to what goes on in Dublin or anything that way, but there seems to be definitely more cooperation and more collaboration between both of your adult teams this year when it comes to your senior and your intermediate team as well, in terms of, I suppose, training and cooperation between players and the whole lot. And you can show it because both teams are doing so well this year that something has certainly changed over the last number of years with them.
Yeah, no, this year we've tried everything over the last couple of years trying. So this year we actually took a leaf out of other counties' books that they've done in the past. We've one management team who looks after both teams now. So our senior management, our intermediate management, right, on match days we have to split it, and everybody has their own roles and everybody, but we it now gives us 62 players training together and all fighting for a spot on the first team. I'm not overly concerned of first team and second team. Everybody is training to play in the first team, and that's where we want them to be.
Obviously, there's still a long way to go over the next couple of years with all of your teams, the same as everyone else, to try and get to the top, because at underage level, it looks like that Cork, Galway, Tipperary are still fighting it up there. We're still struggling, as I was just chatting to Canis Hickey there, around 14 years since we, or Canis Brennan, I don't know why I keep calling him Canis Hickey. For last time we won in All-Ireland at that age is 14 years ago. Like, there's certainly barren periods for Dublin and Kilkenny, who had been fairly successful at underage level, like in the last couple of years. So both counties are trying to get back up to the top at under 16 level.
Yeah, and we have to look to the standard bearers. We have to look to the Corks and the Tipperaries, and that's where we want to get to. We don't want to be sitting here in 10 years' time saying that, or maybe we have to try this. We're trying different things. This 16s crew, right, they had a bad beating yesterday, but they will pick themselves up. They'll pick themselves up and they will regroup. They'll be back out training this week and they'll refocus. And the joys of it, it's not knockout. They get their games in the round robin series. Like, we competed, we had 3 teams playing in the Leinster Championship this year on their 16, A, B and C. all three teams reached their prospective finals in that. Or C's brought home the title, or A's when your own A's and Kilkenny quite close, and your B is better. But that's where we're gonna get our learning. We go out and we play as much as we can. The girls love going out, putting on the Dublin jersey, and giving it, like, to put in three inter-county teams at under 16 is it takes serious manpower and serious organisation. But in Dublin, we are blessed. We've some very good administrators sitting on our executive and sitting on our development committee who week in, week out, day in, day out, are putting in the hours. Like you touched on our membership. Like, our membership has gone over 20,000. We probably have, no disrespect to anybody, we probably have more members than what they have in some provinces. It's getting to a stage where, in Dublin, and I can only speak for Dublin, is where it's going to become a full-time job for somebody. It'll have to manage it. We do it as best we can with an executive, but we're very lucky. We've very good relationship with Dublin GAA and Dublin LGFA, and we can tap into their knowledge as well up here. So yeah, no, the future, especially at 16, we would hope will be good.
Yeah, but the future is certainly bright, and I love to see it as well. Obviously now in with Leinster, and our Leinster team's doing so well, and it was great to see the game between yourself and Wexford in the league final, a gripping contest. That game yesterday that I was able to get to it live as well, again a gripping contest and a great advert for Camogie. So things are certainly on the rise for yourselves, and well done to ye for that, and it's great to see it, and we wish you the very best of luck in the future. I suppose for yourself, and you mentioned full time administration, I mean it's nearly getting to that, not even for your membership in Dublin, but nearly with every county in the provinces at the minute, there's so much work being done behind the scenes and so much to do. But I suppose for yourself, like every mafia, there has to be a head, and there has to be a head honcho, and you are the head honcho in Dublin. But I mean, while you talk about a great support team in your executive, without a great support team at home, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing, because I'm assuming, like me and every other administrator around the place, there's meetings, you have matches and training, or there's something else on. I mean, Angela is involved in stuff as well, and she's involved in Camogie. You really have to have somebody who is invested in the GAA behind you to be able to do stuff like that. But the support of the family at home, Carl, you can't beat it. And obviously you have to be able to do that to be the chairman of Dublin or the provincial chair or wherever it is. So that support from Angela and the kids obviously means a lot to be able to let you do what you do.
Oh yeah, like I would be lost. I wouldn't be able to do this without the support at home. Like, Ange picks up the stress of me being on the road probably 7 days a week, as you know, as provincial chair. You can be out every night of the week, and you can be out every day of the week. But I'm blessed. I have great support here at home, and I'll give kudos to Angie's mum as well. Angie's mum would look after the kids at the drop of a hat for us. Right, and even right down to at the moment, Angie's ma washes our Dublin gear, our Dublin gear for us. So it is. It's a family affair. Yes, when we met, we both met in the club. We grew up playing in the club, so it wasn't a shock that I was involved, like, as I would say, in a prior life to being involved in. At this, and you would have umpired at inter-county level for me for years. Well, we're on the road every weekend, so it just grew from one thing to another.
Well, it certainly did, and I can remember Angela being in different Kilkenny venues and even all over the place that you were refereeing Kilkenny matches, and talk about a stricter umpire. I tell you one thing, no wonder you brought her with you, because there was no getting away with anything. Especially Carol is a former inter-county referee as well, and we have had many meetings on the road as well. And he's still doing the odd bit of refereeing in the club up there.
Still doing a bit of refereeing. As I explained to somebody the other night, that was coming off after a game, I'm not good enough to play anymore. So this is my way. Refereeing is still a bit of hurling and a bit of camogie keeps me involved there.
I actually don't know where you get the time to do it, because I mean, I know I'd go off and like umpire for the brother as well, who does an awful lot of refereeing at club level here as well. He gave up the inter-county scene, like a lot of people are doing, because the stress of that has just gone too much altogether. But yeah, great way to be involved. But Carol, I've known you for a while. You do so much good work behind the scenes, and I've always wanted to get other people on to give their side of what it's like to be administrators on the podcast, and to give Dublin a bit of promotion as well, because you are doing so well, and it's lovely to see. And I am delighted as well, to as Leinster chair, to see that happening. And I look forward to a good productive year with all of our Leinster teams, Dublin included in that. And thank you so much for joining me this evening. Hopefully it won't be the last time we have chatting you on Come On Kind. You never know, we could be building up to a Leinster final after next weekend.
That's it. Yeah, let's get over next weekend first.
Exactly. Carol O'Brien, Dublin chair, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the week, and the best of luck to Dublin and yourselves going forward in the All-Ireland series coming up, and over the semi-final at the weekend as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Martin.
You're more than welcome. That is Carol O'Brien there, as I said, the chair of Dublin Camogie, having a chat with us. And a more down-to-earth guy you couldn't get. And I mean, Angela is definitely a saint when it comes to having that kind of administrator as the hobby, because you really are out seven nights a week and always on the phone, and whenever you get family time, it's very, very rare. So yeah, anyway, we're going to take a quick sauce. When we come back, we're going to be diving into the fixtures and a few results maybe from other games from the weekend before we sign off for this evening and get out the gap here. So don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
Carlo, Kilkenny, KCLR.
And just like magic, we are back. I was actually watching BGT and a magician came on, and I'm like, yeah, you know, DJs, we kind of do the same thing nearly. Maybe not on the same scale, but it is great to be involved in editing and everything that we do here in Come On Kind. Always good to have a producer. She's still writing away on different notes to me here in the background, and the phone is out even trying to set up interviews for next week. That'll tell you, good producer, always the case. Right, let's run down through a couple of the results from last week in the Under-16A All-Ireland Championship Round 1. Kilkenny 3-12, Dublin 1-5. Tipperary 3 points, Limerick 11 points. In the Under-16A Shield All-Ireland Championship Round 1, Derry 1-16, Offaly 5 points. In the B Championship, it was Kerry versus Kildare. Kerry 2-8, Kildare 4-8. Kildare on a high at the minute. Wicklow, Tyrone might have bet him in the Adult League final a couple of weeks ago, but Wicklow certainly going well in the Under-16 Championship after a 5-14-1-5 victory over Tyrone. So Breda Donnelly will be delighted with that up in Wicklow. Cavan going well in their championship in Ryan C, beating Louth 3-9-3 points. In the All-Ireland Minor A Shield final replay, it was Dublin 1-19, Wexford 2-15 in an unbelievable game in Netwatch Cullen Park. And well done to Linda Kenny and all of the fixtures committee and the gang in Carlow for looking after us yesterday as well. In the Under-16A Shield All-Ireland competition round 1, not going to read out this result as I didn't do in Carlow yesterday, but it was victory for Wexford over Antrim at the weekend, but Antrim will certainly bounce back from that game. Coming up this weekend, we have the B Championship. Kildare is at home to Meath. In the C Championship, Louth is at home to Donegal. Also in the C Championship, Wicklow at home to Mayo, and Tyrone at home to Cavan. In the B Championship, Kerry has a second home game against Armagh. They don't actually, I apologise, that's in Banagher. See, the producer is here beside me. Yeah, it is. It's a halfway venue. So that's in Banagher. Waterford and Derry, also halfway venue. That's in TU Blanchardstown. That's in the Under-16A Shield round 2. Also in the Shield round 2 was Wexford versus Clare. That's going on in Bunclody. Carlow is at home to Roscommon in the B Championship in Netwatch Training Centre. They are in Fenna. That's all these games are 2 o'clock. All-Ireland Championship, Dublin and Galway. First round game for Galway there. Dublin coming off that defeat to Kilkenny last weekend. Limerick at home to Kilkenny. Maybe, as you heard, will be moved to Saturday, but that's not confirmed at the moment in time. Cork have their first game out in the A Championship against Tipperary. Westmeath will take on Down in the B Championship. And Offaly and Antrim also in the under 16A Shield competition. And they are all of the games that's coming up for this weekend and all of the results from last week. And we are going to finish on a couple of things because obviously the rule changes come into effect actually tomorrow from the 6th of May. And there is a couple of changes that we're just going to kind of run down through them.
Today.
Say again?
They come into effect from today because today is the 6th of May.
Jesus, it is. That'll tell you. So they are actually into effect. So the substitutions per game is going to change. So the rules have changed slightly. So I'm just going down to the further explanation part that I'll be able to go down through them and see. So at club level, adult, as soon as I can get rid of this.
Technology isn't your friend tonight, is it?
It's not, but it's coming up as a drawing thing on for some reason. I was trying to do something.
Bring your coloring pencils, no?
Ah, stop. No. There's no need for that. That's you're brazen out. Where is this group gonna on me? That was sent to me earlier on.
Substitution.
If we had to. Right, here we go. So the substitutions at adult club level is 8 substitutions are permitted in all competitions. Underage club is now unlimited number of substitutions may be used in all competitions, whether it's league or championship. It's now unlimited. Intercounty under 16 and under 18 is 8 substitutions in all competitions. There is no change at adult intercounty because it is 8 substitutions for the league and 5 substitutions are permitted for the championship. But obviously adult club is now different and it's 8 subs there. The concussion rule is now in place as well. So for anyone that doesn't realise what it is, so basically in the event of a concussion or suspected concussion, teams can make a temporary substitution, the same as you normally would with a blood sub. It's not added to or doesn't become a substitution. The player who is concussed or has a suspected concussive incident has to leave the field of play immediately once cleared to move from the relevant medical professionals for medical attention. But the rule changes that the referee now has the authority to order a player off or to prevent the player from coming back if he or she believes that the player is concussed or in a concussive state. So that is a new one, just be wary of it. Obviously, the rules of play for extra time doesn't really come into effect for us. Slow play, deliberately delaying a puck out, is now going to be a 45 metre free. GA, it's a throw ball, but in Camogie it's changing, so that is a new rule coming into effect. Technical fouls, hand passes, you've heard it all through the commentaries with the last little while, the vein of everybody's existence with people strike or throwing the ball. So the new rule has changed that the player has to demonstrate a clear striking action, and if the referee doesn't see a clear striking action, it will be a free to the player. Opposition or whoever is doing the foul. Shoulder, rough play and descent. Obviously, you still cannot deliberately shoulder an opponent. You can have shoulder to shoulder contact, but you cannot deliberately shoulder that person. There has to be somebody going in the direction of a ball and looking for it. And obviously the charge rule then has been changed that it is directly into an opponent's body with or without the sitter. So those are changing and they are rules 10.2. The advantage rule is not really changing that much because it was always going to be the case that if an advantage is given and somebody fouls the ball, it is going to be a free in the opposite direction. Just different things have changed in the wording. Where are we? Sideline puck. So this has been an anomaly over a number of years. So in GAA, you have to be 13 metres away from a sideline puck. If you're too close, it's a free, plain and simple. Well, now this is going to be the case for Camogie. So if a player is standing nearer than 10 metres from the slitter before it is taken, it is now going to be a free. So 13 metres for hurling, 10 metres for Camogie. Also,
and it's only right because if somebody, like, I don't know if anybody has ever gotten a right smack off of a slitter. I have. It's not nice. And if you're standing too close to it.
Yeah, but the anomaly is there. Like, there's people that's trying to stop quick puck, a quick sideline. So before, if you do that in a GAA game, it's going to be a free because you're too close. Yeah. But in Camogie, you could hit the ball away because you're too close and it, the sideline had to be retaken. Yeah. So you were delaying things and you were stopping quick ball coming out from players. So it is a good thing. The advantage, when I say the advantage, the possession advantage now is changing. So there was, again, an anomaly there where, as being the GAA, if your own teammate went down injured and you had possession of the ball, you got the indirect free, which you obviously couldn't score from. But in Camogie, it was slightly different, that if Lillian went down and I'm playing with you and I have possession of the ball, it was a throw ball because everybody was roaring and shouting for somebody to come on and attend to you. You were down injured. Now it's reverted back to the same as the GAA. So the team in possession, even though the player for their own team might be down, they now get the advantage of the indirect free as well, which makes a lot of sense and it makes the rule a little bit clearer as well. And obviously the other major rules that's coming into effect is the age groups when it comes to it. Now, there is different ones for intercounty and for club, but the intercounty one is that you now have to be over 18. This is tiered and it is coming in on a phased basis.
Over so, the next 3 years.
Yeah, tier one is this year, tier two is next year, and tier three is the following year. So it gives teams a cycle to try and get enough players to be out at intercounty level for adult and underage competition. Intercounty competitions, again, minor is changing to be under 18 and over 16, which makes sense because it now means that the competitions can run concurrently or beside one another, and if we have enough officials that we don't have to be waiting on different things. But again, that may not happen for a couple of years because it's worked on a phased basis and the tier ones are coming in immediately. Tier two and tier three is phased out over the next couple of years. And the other age criteria then for the club is staying the same, but the over.
Did you mention that adult for intercounty has now gone to over 18?
I did.
You did.
That was the first one that I did, and I'm just looking. That's intercounty. They've changed the wording on the under and the over. So the under means that a player must be under the age limit by midnight on the 31st of December of the year prior to the championship. And over means that a player must be over the age by midnight on the 31st of December of that year prior to the championship. For example, to play under 14, a player must be 10 years of age on the 31st of December prior to the championship year. And other than that, there's only a couple of different wording.
There's the club one. That it's a player, the new rule states that a player must meet under 12, they must be under 12 and over 9. Under 14, they must be under 14 and over 10. Under 16, they must be under 16 and over 12. Under 18, they must be under 18 and over 14. And adult, they must be over 15.
Yeah, the over 15 was always the case at the club for the adult. But they are, I suppose, the major rule changes that has come into effect from today, and they will be in play for the Leinster Championship coming up. As we say, the very best of luck to everybody taking part at the weekend, to Kilkenny and Wexford in the intermediate in the senior competition, two semi-finals. We're 96% there now that it's going to be Freshford for the weekend.
And we should compliment Freshford on last Saturday. The pitch,
unbelievable.
JJ had the pitch in immaculate condition. I landed early. He was out trimming it and lining it. And
Paddy Butler
everything.
Was doing the other one then as well, between the two of them. It was unbelievable.
And Sheila and Paula had catering and everything laid on out there for the officials. It was excellent.
No, everything was hunky-dory and perfect there.
And considering the amount of rain, the pitch was in phenomenal condition.
It was, and I have to compliment everybody in Dr. Colin Park yesterday, because I actually walked the pitch yesterday as well. I got a lot of people wasn't even allowed out on the pitch, but I got to walk it. So,
and Nolan Park yesterday the same as well, like a carpet.
Yeah,
well done to Kevin and Christy and John Coogan, spectacular as always,
unbelievable. So our under 16s, good luck against Limerick the weekend. Our intermediates and seniors, good luck against Wexford at the weekend.
Our seniors, good luck against Wexford.
I said that. Intermediate and seniors.
Oh, sorry, did you?
The senior hurlers, we wish them the very best of luck against Carlow. Good luck to Carlow in the under 16 competitions at the weekend as well, because they are going to be out. To all of the Leinster teams, I'm wishing ye luck as well. In a neutral point of view, we're preparing and getting ready for our championship finals on the 18th of May, which will be in Glenisk O'Connor Park in Tullamore. Great venue, delighted to be able to get that as well. And they will be 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock for the intermediate and the senior finals. Really looking forward to that. Looking forward to the junior final coming up this weekend with Louth and Kildare too. The very best of luck to everybody involved there. It is in Ashburn Donamore in County Meath.
Oh, you said that already.
5 o'clock.
I apologise, I was too busy shuffling paper.
And we wish our referees the best of luck, who's doing their championship tests at the weekend as well, which is not going to be easy for them. And they also have a seminar, and then they have to come and do our Leinster matches. So it's going to be a very, very, very busy weekend for them. But as always, thank you so much to everybody. And thank you to stepping into the breach again this evening. It's been a pleasure having you beside us here. And
I'm beside you every night. You just don't hear
I know,
from
but
me.
You're getting to chat a little bit more, you see, now. And
I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, whether it is or not, it might be the same next week if Anya can't make it. So anyway, it might be this way for a while. My sincere thank you to Peter Chapclear, to Shem Kelly, to Kenneth Brennan.
Good man.
Get the name right this
right.
time. And to the Dublin chair, Carol O'Brien, as well, for the interviews.
Good chat, Carol.
We're hitting for an hour and a half this time on the podcast. Who cares? I've enjoyed it. It's great to get other people's opinions and their voices onto it as well. But from myself and the wonderful producer, Mrs. Lillian Houlihan, here from the KCLR studios in Kilkenny, until next week, it's goodbye from the two of us. Bye.
Bye.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Clutty and Anya Fahey.